I'd like you to turn with me this evening to Luke's Gospel and to chapter 3 and to verse 8. Our subject this evening is fruits of repentance. We read this verse in Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. What does that word mean? Repentance. It's not a word often used today because we live in a generation where, largely speaking, that little word sin is not acknowledged. We don't like to speak about it. We'd like to ignore it. We like to give it a different name. We call it mistakes. Errors, flaws, shortcomings, moments of madness, oh, there's so many names. But we don't like to use the word sin. But the Bible, from cover to cover, mentions a number of different words. Iniquity, transgression, sin. They mean slightly different, but it's the same point. Each of us has broken God's laws. We have an accumulation of words that we've spoken, thoughts that we've had, actions that we've done, and even worse than that, just what we are. Broken. Sinful in the sight of God. What a gloomy way to start a message. But I cannot begin to get to the positive unless we've understood that you, and me particularly, we are sinners in the sight of God. Tonight, I want to speak about the only remedy. If you do not understand that you are a sinner, and that I am a sinner, I cannot speak to you about repentance, because you will say, I have no need to repent. I have nothing that has offended God so much that he cannot let me into heaven. But the Bible, the authority of my life, the authority of this church, says to us tonight, we are sinners. There was a famous sermon spoken by an American. He used to read his sermons, but he was one of the most listened to preachers in America. His name was Jonathan Edwards. And he spoke a famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that's true. That's you and me. God is a God of love, so loving and kind, but he's also an angry God. He has to be angry because he is holy, holy, holy. He cannot let any sin into heaven. He cannot let you and I, who are sinners, into heaven. And so tonight, I want to explain as lovingly, as simply as I possibly can, how you and I can go to heaven one day. How can you be let in through the gates of heaven unless you come in repentance? Well, we read, and I want to explain how I can speak in such a way tonight. Look down here in Luke chapter 3, and we read in the second part of verse 2, the Word of God, the Word of God came unto John. Tonight, I don't want you to hear me. I want you to ignore me. I want you to hear the Word of God speaking to your soul. How can I say that? This is the words that we read. The word of God came unto John. How could John the Baptist, you've heard of him, he was a man that came before the Lord Jesus Christ, started his ministry. The Lord Jesus grew up, but he didn't start preaching and teaching and healing until John the Baptist came and blew a trumpet, as it were. The word of God came unto John. He was given a message. He was given a message that he had to preach. The word of God came unto John. And the word of God, I believe, has come to me tonight. Nothing different from what it says in the Bible, but the word of God has come to me, and my responsibility is to bring it to you, just as John took the message of God and brought it to the people in Galilee, in the wilderness, in and around that place in Palestine. The word of God came to John, and he brought it to the people. And so tonight, this is the word, the same word that I bring to you. I don't want you to hear my thoughts, my words, my opinions. I want you to hear God's word speaking through the Bible directly to your soul. You have a soul. You're not just a body. You're not just blood and bones. You have a soul. And God is speaking tonight, I pray, to your living soul. And this is what he says, the same that he said to John. Verse 3, he came into all the country about Jordan, and he had a message. This is the message. He preached, that means he spoke, of the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness, the remission of sins. So I said at the beginning, we are all sinners. I don't want to offend you, but that's what the Bible says. I'm not being honest. I'm not being open unless I tell you tonight, you and I, we've broken every one of God's laws. And the message to you tonight is you can be forgiven, but only if you repent. This is what it says here. John went about teaching and preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Here's the good news. The good news for everyone that will listen. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. But I can be forgiven. I have been forgiven. Not because I've done anything, but because God has worked in my heart and life in such a way that I've seen and felt my sin. And I felt how offensive it is to God. When I look at the things I've done and said, when I was growing up in a Christian family, the things that I thought and watched and looked at, I would be ashamed if they were written up on the wall. What about you tonight? What about what you've done and said and thought and been? Would you be willing for that to be written up on the wall behind me tonight? Your sin, your life opened up. John comes and I come tonight and say, there is a message. If you repent of your sin, and I'm going to explain what that means, you can be forgiven for every single one of the sins that you've done and thought and said and been. You can be forgiven. Do you know, sometimes we meet people in life and they've carried a great burden with them. You get to talk to them and you say, tell me about your life. Somebody you meet in the park, somebody you might meet at college or at work, tell me about your life. And very soon you begin to see there's a broken relationship. They're not speaking to their mother, to their grandfather. They had a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and things went wrong. And there's a broken relationship. Something was said. Something was done. Something was stolen. Something was unkind. They're no longer speaking. And they're bearing the tension, the burden of a broken relationship. And that's what you and I have with God. Much, much worse than if you have a broken relationship with me. You're not on speaking terms with me. Well, maybe I can manage that for a while. But are you on speaking terms to your God? The one that made you? The one that knows all about you? The one that gave you the gift of eyesight and hearing? And the gift to walk and to go through life and to understand? And he gave you a soul to feel, to love, to know, to choose? And you're not speaking to him? And there's a tension. Sometimes people can't walk in the same room as their ex-wife, their ex-husband, because there's a broken relationship. Is it like that with you and your God? Because you've offended him? Because you've sinned? Well, I want to speak on this subject of repentance. Let me read a verse. If you have a sheet, it's on your sheet as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. These words are very helpful. Before we come to our text, now I rejoice. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice. This is Paul. Not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed towards repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. I didn't come and preach. I didn't talk to you about sin. I didn't make you sad and sorry, says Paul, in order to take something from you and damage you. No, the sorrow that you had was godly sorrow. Verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, becoming a Christian. Not to be repented of. Not something you go back on. It wasn't just an emotional decision. No, you turn to Christ. Your sorrow and sadness in your heart was so deep and so genuine, you were never going to turn away from it. But the sorrow, the tears of this world, works death. Now, friends, tonight, I want to tell you, what is repentance? If you understand one word tonight, may it be this word. What is repentance? I have this great problem of sin in my life. I'm cut off from God. We're not on speaking terms. I can't go to heaven unless my sin has been taken away. Go back to Luke chapter 3. John says, repentance. What does that word mean? I dare say if you were to ask people tonight on the streets of Bedford, go into the high street or go to another town, to Rushton or Luton or somewhere else, what does it mean to be repentant? And people would say, oh, it means to be sorry. That's nothing. Sorry? Sorry? You've offended God. You've broken his laws. Your sin will keep you out of heaven. And all you can say is I'm sorry. The definition of repentance is what we've just read in 2 Corinthians. You need to have a godly sorrow. Not something that's vague and passing and superficial. Not some vague regret. I'm sorry that I said that. And tomorrow you say the same. And you offend the person in the same way. No, godly sorrow means I look back on what I've done and said and thought and been, and I examine all those words and deeds, and I realize just what offense I've caused, and damage I've done, and hurt and pain, and distance and separation, and it was done by me. I'm accountable for everything I say and do, and I'm responsible. That's godly sorrow. It starts with an analysis, a looking back, a saying, just what have I done? What did I cause to somebody else and especially to God? That's the beginning. And then repentance. It's a commandment. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. It's a commandment. He commands you tonight and me. If I've sinned today, and I have, he commands me to repent. You need to be so sorry that you pray to God, please, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. This is what I've done. Please forgive me. You've commanded me to get on my knees and to say sorry to God, to the person I've offended. If you've offended your mother and father, you need to go to them. Mom, Dad, I wasn't kind. I was angry. I went off in a huff. Please forgive me. But you know, repentance is also a fruit. We'll look at this in a minute. It's a fruit. Repentance is not a work. You go to a Catholic church and they'll look at this verse down in verse 8 and they'll say, you've got to say prayers. You've got to have the rosary. You've got to go to confessions. You've got to move those beads on a necklace. It's not repentance. Repentance isn't something you do to earn the pleasure of God. Repentance is the fruit, the fruits of repentance. Repentance is the result. It's the consequence, the outcome of God working in your heart so that you feel your sin. And you feel your guilt, and you feel that you are bad, and you've broken God's laws, and you feel the guilt, not just what you've done, but the conscience speaks to you and says, that preacher that's so negative, he's telling me about sin, but I feel guilty inside. I know that what he says is what the Bible says. And I know if I'm honest, he's speaking about my heart and my life. And I know it's true. And I feel that burden. I know I'm a sinner. And then the sin, it weighs me down. And I begin to feel horrible, unclean, guilty in God's sight. We read Psalm 51. David had committed a terrible, terrible sin. He'd murdered. He'd committed adultery. He tried to cover up his sin. And a prophet came to speak to him and said, you are that man. You did it. You committed murder. You tried to cover it up and kill the man whose wife you committed adultery with. David, you are the man. And David knew it. And he went on his knees and he prayed to God and said, create within me a pure heart, O my God. Wash me thoroughly in my heart. Purge me with hyssop, a herb that had antiseptic properties to cleanse. It was a picture of what needed to happen in my soul and in your soul. Purge me with hyssop and make me as though I've never sinned. That's what David said. Real repentance. The word in the Greek means a complete change, metamorphosis, a complete change of mind, metanoia, a total change of mind, not regret, not sorry, but looking at my life, feeling my sin and saying, oh, it's so wrong, I can't keep doing it. I can't keep committing adultery, looking at those things that are wrong. I can't keep stealing. Are you going to sin tomorrow? Are you going to plan to do it? You can't repent today of sin that you're going to do tomorrow. Repentance is looking back. You can't repent of what you're going to do in the future. How insincere would that be to Almighty God? Well, let me tell you of three barriers very quickly. They're all here in this passage. There might be a block, a barrier, a wall to stop you from repenting. It was here. We don't need to look at it. The children of Israel, the Jews, thought that because they were the children of Abraham, they did not need to repent. Because of their race, because of their relatives, because of their religion, they would be just fine. John the Baptist looks at them and he says, do you see these stones? You think you are the children of Abraham. You think you're Christians. You think you'll go to heaven. You think you don't need to repent. This stone, God can turn into a Christian instead of you. You're relying on your works. You're relying on your blood. You're relying on your mum and dad and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And your upbringing. There might be somebody here tonight. You've got Christian parents. What a blessing. There are some here tonight that don't have that blessing. Don't you rely on your mum or your dad? These stones, God can make them into Christians instead of you. There could be another barrier, your pride. I don't need to repent. Repent? That's what sinners do. That's what alcoholics do. That's what drug addicts and murderers do. You are just the same as them. Because in God's sight, all sin is the same. I am no better, no worse than anyone in Bedford tonight. We're all sinners. God doesn't look at one and think that person is better, worse. All sinners. And so my pride has nothing to be proud about, because I am just the same. But there's another barrier. Superficiality. Crocodile tears. Sometimes people go to churches and they tell them, come to the front, sign a piece of paper, put your hand up, say a prayer after me, shed some tears, give some money, let me put my hands on you. It's just an emotion. There was no change of mind, no hatred of your old life, no looking back and feeling the guilt and the ugliness of your sin, no determination, I cannot carry on that way. It was just crocodile tears. So don't shed crocodile tears here tonight. They won't do you good. They won't be a help to your soul. They might be a hindrance. You go on your knees tonight. And as you think of your sin, you come with godly sorrow. Godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Let me tell you of the benefits. I'll just give you words. The benefits of repentance. If you feel your sin, if you feel the guilt of sin, if you desire to repent of your sin and turn from all your life of sinfulness before God, this is what God will give you. These are the fruits, the benefits, if you like. God will give you forgiveness. Personally. Tonight, God will give you peace with himself. There won't be a barrier. You'll be able to speak to him. God will give you peace with others. People that have sinned against you, you won't feel it anymore because you'll be willing to forgive them. And you'll have peace in your own heart and you'll have joy, even though somebody's taken from you. Somebody has done great wrong, you'll be able to forgive them because Christ has forgiven you. And the biggest benefit of all, you will have salvation. That's what we call being saved, being freed from the guilt of sin, being given a new life. These are the benefits. I'm a sinner. I feel my sin. I feel the guilt of my sin. I desire to turn from my sin. I come in repentance and faith, and I believe that Jesus Christ can forgive me of my sin. And he does, and he will. Let me just close tonight. There are three pictures here. When John the Baptist preached, many people wanted to come and be baptized. They wanted to come to the front, as it were, and be washed in a river. And John the Baptist tried to put them off. He said, if you've got two coats, give one to somebody that has none. He was testing them. If you've got food, give it to somebody that's hungry. Let me see if your repentance is sincere. If you're a tax collector, you've been stealing from the people all your life, taking 10 times more than the Roman authorities told you to take, putting the rest in your pocket. Steal no more. Give it back. If you're a soldier, and you've lived your life with ferocity and hostility, and you've beaten and you've treated prisoners so horribly, do violence no more. Do you see, repentance is a fruit. It's not a work to earn my way to heaven. It's the result of what God does in a heart to make me see myself naked before God, without the superficial clothes covering up my sin. God shows me what I'm like. And he says to me, sin no more. Give your coat away. Give your food to those that need it. Don't steal. Don't be ferocious. From now on, you will live life God's way. We'll look at that on Thursday evening. I have a plan for you. I always did, but you never kept it. You live life your way. And it was horrible. I look at your life. I've given you life. And you've broken my laws. Feel your sin tonight. Feel its offense, its ugliness. And come and repent. Turn. Change your heart. Change your mind. Change your life. You can only do that if God helps you. And then he'll forgive you. And there won't be any barrier between you and heaven. And the rest of your life, you'll know that you have a friend in heaven. You'll have peace with God. You'll have joy and you'll have happiness because there's no barrier, no blockage. You can pray to him. You can speak to him. He'll guide you through life. This is what this passage is about. Bring forth, therefore, fruits, the evidence that God has worked in your life, fruits of repentance. And don't say anymore, we're children of Abraham. We've done good things. We've got the right parents. We've got the right blood. We've got the right race. We've got the right religiosity. Come in repentance. This is the message of John. It's not my message. It's the message that God gave to John. And I believe if you're here tonight, God appointed for you to be here, to hear these words tonight. Repent of your sin. Trust in Jesus Christ. He will transform your life. It will never be the same. You go and pray to him tonight and ask him to forgive your sin. And he'll do it if you've truly repented and turned to him. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, so kind, so merciful, so gracious, there is no barrier to heaven if we will come in repentance and faith and look to Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the one who says, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, bow down with sin, and I will give you rest, rest from your weary souls. Lord, bless each one tonight. We ask in Jesus' name.